Fit to Love Season 2, Episode 52, The Biggest Addiction We Have.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire. Get ready to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit with LA's best personal trainer and empowerment strategist, JJ Flazanes.
Fit to Love is physical, emotional, and spiritual fitness to achieve the happy life you deserve. From exercise to cooking, relationships, and spirituality, you'll find all the inspiration you need right here with our host, JJ Flazanes.
Hello and welcome to Fit to Love Thoughtful Thursdays. Today's show, The Biggest Addiction We Have. We have back Bruce Langford, who is the host of the Mindfulness Mode podcast. Bruce became passionate about bullying prevention more than 10 years ago and left his successful career as a teacher to write programs, present, and teach on the topics of respect, bullying, and mindfulness. Bruce has presented at thousands of schools and businesses on child-focused bullying and workplace bullying. Bruce also hosts the Mindfulness Mode podcast, where he shares the message that mindfulness can be used by everyone to increase concentration, productivity, and a sense of calm. Welcome back to the show, Bruce.
Great to be here, JJ. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course, I love our conversations and I love the information that we talk about and what you're doing. And I want to help you share it with the world and help inspire, educate, and empower them. That's why I call myself an empowerment strategist. So anyone that can help me do that, you're on my team.
Awesome. I love that word empower because it's such an important word for all of us.
Right. And people don't even understand it. And I get that. And people don't understand mindfulness either. And part of why I wanted to bring you back on the show was to address what I believe is the biggest addiction that we have. And that would be busyness.
Mm-hmm.
Busyness, because it's something we did a show on season one. It was a Freedom Friday. It was episode 82 called Understanding and Healing Addiction. And on that show, my guest and I talked about the different kinds of addictions. There's hard addictions and soft addictions, but really the reason why all of them do the same thing, which is to basically numb us and to prevent us from feeling or being present with what's going on with us. And I think that the biggest addiction we have, being busyness, is the opposite of what you're teaching, which is mindfulness. Yes?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There's nothing like a smartphone to take away our sense of calm, you know, to make you feel busy because you have to check that text, you have to check that email. And there are so many ways that we do feel busy these days.
And it's easy to do. We have a very fast-paced life. Information travels so quickly that that's a good reason or excuse to use, just like workaholism, right? Workaholism and busyness are the same thing to me. But there are mothers. There are people who aren't mothers currently, or their children have grown. People in my own life that I can think of, actually, that can't sit still. They're so busy. They fill their lives with so many things. And the reality of it is it's just the opposite of where what they really want, was just to find peace and calm. In your experience with the teachings that you're doing, whether it be bullying or just on mindfulness, do you find that a lot of people struggle with letting go of or acknowledging that their busyness is an addiction?
I do. I find a lot of people, they are struggling with something, and a lot of times they're not sure what it is. They do identify many times that they don't have a sense of focus. They'll often say to me, oh, I just have trouble staying focused on one thing. A lot of times they don't really identify that they need to let go, that they need more calm, more peace in their life. They don't understand how to get it, because a lot of times the busyness makes them feel good because it doesn't allow them to stop and think about other thoughts that would come into play if they were not busy.
So when you speak, do you have a lot of people in the audience? Do you ever ask any questions like, how many of you feel unfocused or so busy that you don't know where the time goes?
Yes, I do. And I do questionnaires as well of my clients and my people in my audiences and so on. Absolutely. They're very interactive. And so it's fascinating to see how people answer these questions, because I think for the most part, most people in our society are very, very busy, and many are overwhelmed with the sense of busyness that they are feeling in their lives.
when those busy people attend your events or speak to you or listen to your podcast, what kind of comments or questions do they have?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times they feel that they are attending for the benefit of someone else. So parents often think they're attending to help their child, or adults think they're attending to help their senior parents, or they're attending to help their brother who is an addict, or they're helping someone. They're coming because they know there's a problem, but it's not always a problem that they've identified in themselves, even though they may feel a sense of overwhelm. So that's an interesting thing I've noticed.
It is, because I think we do for others what we really want to have done for us.
Yeah.
And it's that mirror. But I'm just curious as to how often and when do people get to that place where they're ready to look in the mirror, when they're ready to. I know for me, I have studied and practiced law of attraction in a very specific way. And while on the one hand, I was giving it lip service, I recognized back in 2011 that I wasn't really living it. I wasn't trusting at the level that I believed in leveraging the power of the universe, in the power of something greater than myself, in an energy outside of myself that I'm also a part of. I would say it, but then I recognized that all of my decisions were coming from anxiety and a fear, and I didn't like that. It didn't feel good. And so I took some steps to stop it, and I stopped sending out email newsletters. I stopped looking for more business. I really took a big hiatus to become clear that I truly do believe in all of this, but I'm not acting from that. So when you meet people or talk with people, what are some of the other common situations that they get to that they're really ready to hear and understand and start to apply mindfulness to their lives?
Well, you've nailed a big one, JJ, and a big one is anxiety. There is so much anxiety out there. And sadly, so many of our children are dealing with anxiety. So as parents, we're identifying that. We're seeing, our children are filled with anxiety. But of course, many of us as parents are having anxiety attacks, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to do something about this. Now, very often, the something ends up being a prescription of some kind. It ends up being, oh, well, you have anxiety, so you need to be on some kind of medication. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medication, because there's certainly a place for it. But if you can do a simple mindfulness practice that will help you feel calm, take away your anxiety, and help you feel focused, then wouldn't that be a solution you might want to choose? That's what I say to my clients and people in my audience, and I can see on their faces, and that absolutely they're all ears. They're ready to listen to what this is about, but they didn't come to that presentation because they knew it was about mindfulness. Not usually.
They're coming because they want to feel less anxious.
Yes.
Right. And so the busyness and the numbing that we do through feeling needed by other people in the way that we react, we're always putting out fires, is really a way to, we get into this rhythm of, or this hyper anxiety fueled reaction behavior. And it isn't until we hit, I think, adrenal fatigue, rock bottom, or we recognize how unhappy we are and how now satisfied we are by all of our efforts, that we actually start to look for these solutions. And so I want you to explain to those who are listening who haven't heard of mindfulness before, but, or maybe they have, but they recognize they've got anxiety, and they recognize that maybe they use busyness to not really be present with themselves as well. How do you explain mindfulness?
Well, I explain to them that first of all, they need to identify just what you've described, JJ. They need to identify that they're using busyness as a tool to escape. And once they start to realize that that is a fact, then you can start to get somewhere and help them understand that there's a better way. And that better way is to let your brain, let your mind have a break to clear your mind. And how do you clear your mind? Well, there are many ways, and meditation is one of them. But of course, we don't have to call it meditation, and we can just be quiet and have silence. We can go out into nature and move away from all that busyness and give ourselves a break from it. There are so many ways to practice mindfulness, but the first thing is to identify that busyness that you're filling your life with.
Okay, good. And once they've identified it, then what do you think the next step is?
I talk about breathing. And breathing is a very simple way of helping you understand that if you focus on your breath and you just take 2 or 3 minutes at first, focus on your breath and just relax. And, you know, if a thought comes into your mind, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't think, oh my gosh, I can't have any thoughts coming into my mind, because I'm human. There are going to be thoughts coming into my mind. So very important to just relax, let yourself focus on the breathing, and not be upset if there are other thoughts coming into your mind. And then just extend it. Do it for 3 or 4 minutes one day, and the next day do it for 5 minutes, and just build up to a little bit more of it. And you will soon start to see a difference. You will start to see that, oh, I feel calmer today. But you will only start to see that, in my opinion, if you are doing this on a regular basis. You must do it consistently. So you need to set a time and do this every day, or do it twice a day. And after 2 to 3 weeks of doing it every day, you will start to notice a difference. So you're starting with your breath, and you can use guided meditations if you like. And there are all kinds of apps for guided meditations. And if you listen to a recording, it will help to keep your mind focused just quietly in one place without going all over. And the first thing that people say to me is that, oh my gosh, I can't do this. My mind is crazy. My mind is just going nuts. My mind is going in every direction. And of course, that's normal. So don't start attacking yourself and thinking, oh no, I can't do this, because you are probably experiencing what almost everybody else is as well. You just have to realize that and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And that's why they call it the practice of mindfulness, because it's a practice. You just do it, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and you will soon discover that you are experiencing a new sense of calm. You are more focused. You are, well, many people say to me, I just feel happier as a result of the mindfulness practice that I'm doing.
I love it. And for anyone who's listening, there are some ways that I think would be also good to implement some of this. So when Bruce was saying to practice, absolutely, Bruce, I 100% agree with you. And one of the ways that I learned and understand it based on our frequencies, that the frequency of our energy that we put out there, in law of attraction terms, is vibration. But I'm going to use the word frequency because everyone understands that. It's a lot of people sometimes, especially the ones that when I was at the most anxious, and a lot of type A personalities, I think and expect of themselves, the perfectionist, that it's going to be, I am so crazy busy with so much going on that I have to stop and do nothing. And I think it's more, I've been told, and I relate to it better, when you think of it as a car kind of slowing down, you're putting the brakes on. You're not going to go from 90 to zero in a second. It's going to take, like you said, the practice, but it's the practice of slowing down. And then every time you practice, it gets a little bit easier, and it gets a little bit easier, and you bring yourself to a place that's actually really calm. But it isn't going to happen overnight, because if you're operating at a really high speed, you can't just put the brakes on and expect it's going to go from black to white. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I know for some people who are very perfectionist oriented, type A business oriented, they're going to think that the first time they do it, that the pressure's on and I have to do it right. And if I don't do it right, then I might as well not do it.
Yes, I really like the way you've described that. And it's so interesting talking with so many different people who practice mindfulness, and they all describe it differently. And you've really described it well. It is like a car. It is like slowing down. And if you get angry with that car for not slowing down enough, it's not going to help you, you know? And so I like your analogy, JJ.
Thank you. Well, it's one of those, I deal with a lot of people in different areas, type A, you know, more masculine, some more feminine. And so it's really trying to speak. I think one of my gifts is being able to, based on what your sign is, what your gender is, what order of birth you are, how you were raised, to try to find the language that communicates, because it's going to be different for everybody. Not everyone's going to hear it the same way. And I also understand from my own personal experience that if I'm going to do something, if I'm going to take the time to start to do something different or learn a new skill, and I think mindfulness for some people might be a new skill, then I need to do it right. And if I'm not going to do it right, I'm going to get frustrated and beat up on myself and say, well, I'm not any good at this, so I might as well just not do it. And I wanted to make sure those people who are listening understand that it's not about doing it right, and it's not about, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be an expert in it, and that the practice isn't about that you're not good at it. It's about the, like, whether it be a car or a top, like when you play with tops and you spin it, right? It has to slow down. It's going to eventually slow down and get slower and get slower and get slower, but it's not going to go from spinning at the highest speed to stop. It's not that easy, and it's not even possible. Yeah. I don't think it's that possible. I think it's a process.
You
so
are right.
Now, I know that you've worked in bullying prevention for over 10 years. And on the last show that you and I did together, which was about cyberbullying and confidence, which if anyone hasn't heard it, I would highly recommend that you go back and listen to that. It was an awesome show about bullying in general, about children, about ourselves, about cyberbullying, and how to process that in a new way that empowers everybody and comes from a place of love and not from fear and victimization. So how do you put mindfulness, like how does mindfulness relate to that work of bullying?
Well, I really discovered that mindfulness relates in a big way because, you know, so much of bullying is because of how we react to what is done, how we react to that incident. I mean, bullying is about people testing the waters. They're, you know, checking out, you know, can I get a reaction from this person or that person? And if so, well, then I can get a bigger reaction. And then I can feel empowered as a result of the reaction I've achieved. And of course, it's not right to do that. It's not right to go after empowerment in that way, but that is what happens a lot of times. So it's really important for us to understand that scenario, and then therefore understand, oh, then if I can be more mindful, if I can just not react, then probably I'm not going to be bullied, or I'm not going to have as high a percentage. There isn't going to be as high a chance that I am going to be bullied. And so it began to be very apparent to me that if I could teach children and adults mindfulness, it would automatically reduce bullying. And part of mindfulness is understanding that we're all part of one human family. And it's about respect as well. And so if we can teach that respect piece, which we can, because I have taught it myself and been invited. I was invited into a school for over 2 months, and I was able to practice mindfulness with the students on a day-to-day basis and really see how they transform during that two-month period. And it was really remarkable, so that there was a sense of calm toward the end and a sense of peace and happiness when the children came to see me and spend time. And they said to me, you know, I just feel so peaceful coming into this class. And so when I saw that and was able to practice it firsthand, I knew that it would reduce incidences of bullying, because bullying happens when children are unhappy, when they are wanting to, you know, find that sense of confidence that they feel they're missing, or they want to be empowered and they don't know how to do it. And so definitely if we can teach mindfulness to children, it will really help. And I mean, schools are doing this all over North America, and not only North America, all over the world this is being taught. And so I just want to spread the word that it's such an important way of improving our world, just to spend a little time practicing mindfulness.
Would you be willing to share a few of those teachings that you shared with the students about respect and empathy?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, let's take a break and thank our sponsors. And when we come back, Bruce is going to give us a few of his teaching tools so that we can implement them on ourselves as well as the children in our lives and maybe even other adults. So we'll be right back.
Do you love listening to audiobooks? Or do you think you'd read more if you could listen to them? Well, for you listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. With over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. To download your free audiobook today, go to fittolovebook.com. That's fittolovebook.com to get your free audiobook with your free 30-day trial to Audible. If you're unhappy with your trial and you don't want to continue, you get to cancel before the 30 days are over and keep your free audiobook. It is 100% risk-free. So go to fittolovebook.com. That's fittolovebook.com to get your free audiobook today. Do you want to look and feel years younger? Learn more about your hormone health and how to get properly tested. Sign up for the Healthy Hormone Kit at nourishingwellness.com. It features the essential tests you need to tell your doctor to order for you to learn more about your current levels. Plus, you'll receive lots of healthy eating and lifestyle tips to improve your hormone health naturally. nourishingwellness.com.
Okay, Bruce, I want to sit in your classroom, and I want all of us listening to sit in your classroom pretending we're 5 or 10. It doesn't matter. We can be 25 or 45 or 55. I think this lesson is going to be for everybody. So what would you teach me about respect and empathy to help me deal with bullying?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to think of one thing to put your focus on. I'm not going to say to you, okay, everybody, listen. Listen to this, because now I'm going to teach you about mindfulness. Because that's not really a good approach, because, you know, why should I listen? What I want to do is put the focus on something specific. So by doing that, I might choose to make, like, play a tone or a sound, or like if I had a musical instrument. And being a musician, sometimes I would just pick up a trumpet and I would play a long tone on the trumpet. And I would say, okay, everybody, let's just listen to this tone and just be aware of the thoughts that come into your mind as I play this long tone on the trumpet. And it doesn't matter what the thoughts are, just be aware of what they are and just kind of think about them. And if you hear other sounds or you see other things that might normally distract you, just don't even think about that. Just think about the sound you are hearing from the trumpet. And so we do that. And then at first, if I did that, it might be a 3-minute exercise. And then we just go on and do something else. Another day, I might say, okay, let's share some of those thoughts that came into your mind. And let's share them, just a one-word thought, or let's share 3 words of what that thought was that came into your mind. And if the children are relaxed and comfortable, they will share anything. And it could be any random thought. I'll say anything that's appropriate to share with the class, you can share. And it's funny sometimes, because sometimes it is really something that has nothing to do with anything. It's just a completely random thought. And so then as we progress with this, then children are starting to put their focus on that one thing, but not on each other. They're not scrapping. They're not picking on each other. They're not, you know, thinking, oh, you know, he did that, or there was a noise, and so therefore I couldn't concentrate on that pitch. So that's one exercise that I do, and I progress it to the point that later, we can do it for an extended period of time, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. And then afterwards, the students do feel a sense of calm just from having done the exercise, because it's literally given their brain a break from the busyness that they're used to.
So this could be used for adults. Back to the title of today's show, The Biggest Addiction We Have. Adults could be doing this as well to help them feel more calm so that they can start to release the grip that that anxiety has on keeping them so busy that it distracts them, right, from what's going on within them. Yes?
Yes, that's right. They can.
Excellent. Now, I also know that you have a podcast for those adults or kids. I don't know, kids listening to podcasts that people can listen to get more and more learnings and teachings and tools and tips from you and more accountability. Even probably listening to your show can be considered mindfulness because they're actually listening and focused on something. Can you tell us a little bit more about your show and how to learn more from you and how to become more mindful so we can release our anxiety and busyness?
Yes, just take time to relax your brain. Just have quiet time. And if you can structure that into your day, that's really great. But get more nature. Get out there and just be able to give yourself a treat that way. And when I started realizing how many people in so many different professions, they practice mindfulness and the many different ways they do it, I thought, that is something I really want to share with the world. And so that's what my podcast is. Mindfulness Mode is me introducing and sharing the stories of so many different people and how they practice mindfulness. So one person is actually a professional trumpet player, and he talks about how he uses mindfulness to practice, and he uses mindfulness to be in the right mindset to perform a concert and that kind of thing. But through the podcast, you will learn so many ways to practice mindfulness. And I do myself learn so many ways. And I say to my audiences, you know, I get my best ideas from you directly. I don't profess to know everything there is about these topics. Far from it, but I certainly learn so much from my audiences and my clients, people I coach. It's just really fantastic to spend time learning from others. And I think that's how we can improve as human beings, just learning from others. So that's what you'll do if you tune into mindfulnessmode.com and listen to some of the interviews on there.
Which I was excited and happy to be one of. So, Bruce, thank you for allowing me to be on your show as well as for sharing this information. Because even though, you know, mindfulness is a hot topic amongst the psychological therapeutic world, and again, like you said, with bullying, and I want to help bring more clarity and understanding to those who still it glazes over them and they don't really get it yet. It's like mindfulness is the way to, in my opinion, really lead a happy life. I don't think you can be happy without being mindful.
I agree. I think that people who are happy are mindful and they may not even realize they are.
Right. It's about the practices. And that's, again, starting this conversation and this movement really gives us time and space to focus on defining what that really means and how we do it. And sort of like when you had me on your show, I didn't realize how many ways that I had been mindful without you asking me those questions. And when I think back to the amount of focus and being present and calm, things that I used to do in my childhood and up until now that really bring me that sense of peace. And I didn't realize I would never have considered them mindful before. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So I encourage everyone to check out Bruce's podcast, Mindfulness Mode. If today's show has sparked some interest in you and you're sort of on the edge and you're not completely clear yet, maybe go back and listen to episode 82, Understanding and Healing Addiction, and then come back to the show, The Biggest Addiction We Have, and listen to it again from a new perspective. Because I really do believe that while we like to point the fingers at people who are doing drugs or overeating or using some kind of substance and say that there's something wrong with them, that there's equally something, using something different, a different tool. I think it's the masses are using busyness and business and control to mask what's really going on, because there's been such an epidemic of depression and suicides. And I think that that's the reason. The reason is because we are not tapping into who we are. We are always numbing and avoiding. And it's Bruce's work of mindfulness, and hopefully the work that I'm doing too, that's going to bring some awareness to that, so people can really get what is they're after. And that's happiness and peace. Yes, Bruce?
Yes, absolutely. Happiness and peace. We need it. We want it. And it's there within reach.
Yep, it's inside. It's not outside of us, but it's inside of us. So please learn from Bruce, mindfulnessmode.com. You will learn how to go within to find all the answers that you are searching for. Bruce, thank you so much for being here again.
My pleasure. Thank you, JJ, for inviting me.
The Fit to Love podcast show offers you 6 days a week of helpful content to achieve the happy life you deserve. Movement Mondays and Tasty Tuesdays are weekly video casts, while Wellness Wednesdays, Thoughtful Thursdays, Freedom Fridays, and Sexy Saturdays are audio-only shows themed every week to address your holistic life and needs. If this show inspired you, we would love for you to share it and subscribe. Thank you so much for joining us today. Head on over to fittolove.tv for recaps of every show, resources, and to join the community. That's F-I-T, the number 2, L-O-V-E.tv. Have a fit and fabulous day.